for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, July the 2nd, 1983. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Don Corder of Winter Haven, Florida is the speaker of the morning.
Can I give you a chance to wash your feet today? I want you to see what in that we were sharing last night when the lights went off. I'm going to finish that this evening and then share some other things with you if the Lord directs that way. But so that you don't become confused in only having heard half, we're talking about a spiritual end time principle and not a taking your shoes off. And we know there are some things about literally washing one another's feet also. But I just wanted to share something with you this morning. And there has been much said about it throughout the camp, but I just really wanted to share some principles with you. I would sooner feed your spirit than stir up your emotions. Amen? I mean, that's just an opinion of mine. I can stir your emotions and you can leave here and 30 minutes later you don't have anything in your pocket to use in spiritual warfare. And so, what I want to share this morning are some thoughts concerning intercessory prayer. Because there is a real burden in the land, and it's been expressed even in this camp meeting concerning prayer. And turn to the book of Job with me. The book of Job is just before the book of Psalms, the last chapter of the book of Job. The last chapter of the book of Job. Job 42 and verse 10. Up to this point, we know of, you can read through and see all of the situations and circumstances of Job and the ups and the downs and the talking about this and considering this. And maybe this is the problem, maybe that's the problem. And all of Job's friends had their interpretation of why the problems came. And but the focal point is Job 42:10. God has already spoken to Job and straightened some things out in his own theology. In Job 42:10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." When was Job's captivity turned? When he prayed for somebody else. When he prayed for somebody else. One of the greatest things the enemy tries to do is to keep our eyes on our problems, our situations, our circumstances. I remember a sign that I saw a number of years ago in a pastor friend's office of mine. It said, "I complained because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. I complained because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet." If you see a man that doesn't have feet, you won't complain because you don't have shoes anymore, will you? But there's this principle there. In Isaiah 43:26, the word declares, "Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." And somehow in this end time, what we have to do is enter into the mind of God. I'm not talking about some psychic way of entering into the mind of God, but entering into the very thought realm of God, into the very throne room of the Father in our prayer life. For so many years, we thought of intercessory prayer. And when we thought of intercessory prayer, we thought of old grandmas. And there are many people who are retired and who have time to pray more than what other people have. But that was our concept, that it was always, you know, the old grandmas of the church that were doing all the praying. But intercessory prayer is something that's being birthed in this hour, and that everyone is going to have to be involved in. Turn to the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 55. I want you to set a basis here and then share some things. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Jeremiah, immediately upon his receiving a call from God and a commission as a prophet, is told in verse 12 of chapter 1, I will hasten my word to perform it, Jeremiah. Why do you suppose God told Jeremiah that? Because the thing that the prophet would be speaking would be God's word. That would come out of his mouth would be the very oracles of God. And so as an encouragement to the prophet, God said, Jeremiah, when you speak my word, I will hasten to perform it. The Amplified Bible says, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90. Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God does not vacillate at all. God is not moved. His word is settled. It is a settled fact in heaven. And then Jesus comes along and says something like this. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The profoundness of that. Thy will, or thy word, Father, which is already settled in heaven, cause it to come to pass on the earth. I think God is giving in this hour of the revelation that a lot of things that we thought were going to happen in heaven are going to happen on the earth. God is desiring, you see, his will is perfect in heaven. There is no confusion in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no sin in the heavenly realm with God. And he is desiring that that will and that word be performed in the earth. Read Matthew 6 with that perspective sometime. Not now. Pay attention to me. I've done that sometimes. I said, read Matthew 6 sometime. You see somebody open their Bible and they just go off while reading something else. Praise the Lord. Maybe I was reaping something I'd sown. Maybe I've done that to somebody. But in verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Look at verse 128 of the 119th Psalm while we're here. 128, verse 128 of 119. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Any way but God's way is a false way. Any way but a way of the word and will of God that he has revealed is a false way. Is it not true? Psalm 138. We've all been blessed by the name of God and by looking into the word of God and seeing God's revelation of his name, that in God's name is revealed, just as in the name of Jesus, is revealed everything that we need. Amen? He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rophaka, our healer. He is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there all the time. And on and on and on, we could go thinking about the name of God. But in Psalm 138, verse 2, God says, through the psalmist David, as David is pouring out his heart, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. There's only one thing that God has magnified and set above his own name, and that is his own word. And even on the earth, your word is only as good as your name. You know, it seems they can check you out, and if you don't have your good word, if you don't have a good credit rating, your name's not any good. We We know God's name, and God's name is faithful. God's name is awesome. God's name reveals to us everything that He is and that He has done and that He will do. And He has magnified His word even above His name. Malachi 3:6 declares, I am the Lord, I change not. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Why don't you turn there for a moment? Just setting a basis to share just a few things concerning intercessory prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. In the context here, beginning in earlier verses, the Apostle Paul is talking about in verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him, that is in Jesus Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now sometimes we see the first portion of that in the Williams New Testament, translated from the Greek, translates it this way. For as many as the promises of God may be through him, that is Jesus, they are always yes. Did you know that the answer to any one of the promises of God in the Word of God, in his book, the answer is always yes. You say, no, wait a minute, that doesn't ring true. If God has made a promise, the answer to his promise is never no. If God said that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, what is the answer to that? Yes. If God said through Jesus Christ in Matthew 6:33, if you would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things would be added unto you, if God said that, do you think when you do that, he's going to say, oh no, I didn't mean that? No, he's going to say yes. But there's still something we've overlooked. This is why our amen, the Williams New Testament continues, through him is for the glory of God when spoken by us. When spoken by us. Now the King James Version says, unto the glory of God by us. God has so arranged things in his word and so constructed his word that the only means of reception for humankind is to come into agreement with himself as God. Very, very, very seldom do we receive anything without first having gone to our Father. Amen? Very, very seldom does something just automatically happen without us doing anything. Now, once in a while, that happens. God is merciful and God is gracious and sovereignly he does something. But he said to Isaiah, come, let us plead together that you may be justified. The definition of prayer. We've studied prayer in our local church in Winter Haven. How do you define prayer? As I sought the Lord and as I looked in the Hebrew and the Greek and saw all the scriptures that pertain to prayer and coming before the Lord. The definition of prayer that I arrived at in looking at the totality of God's Word was this. Prayer is the expression of man's utter dependence upon God for all things. Prayer is the expression of man's utter dependence upon God for all things. We could further that by saying that we are independent of man because we are totally dependent upon God. You see, you can't separate yourself from one and say, well, I'm independent of man, and then try to function on your own. If you're going to say you're independent of man, you must say, I'm totally dependent upon my Father. One of the things that we have lacked in this hour, and a lot of the things that have been happening in the charismatic movement in that realm, is that we have made God our buddy when he's still God. He still demands our respect and our adoration and our fear. We have become familiar with God and the things of God. And I dealt yesterday with a spirit of familiarity. You know, we become so familiar that we lose our respect for God. Intercessory prayer is just one kind of prayer. There are other kinds of prayer. Mark 11, there's the prayer of faith. In Luke 22, Jesus made a prayer of dedication unto the Father. Father, not my will, but your will be done. He was praying. It was a prayer of dedication of himself and of his ministry and of the totality of what was going on. He gave it to God. There are prayers of worship in the Bible. There's the prayer of agreement in Matthew 18. There's united prayer, such as we see in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. What I want to zero in on this morning, however, is just intercessory prayer. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And I trust that you're not here this morning and you have an attitude of, well, I know all there is to know about this subject. Then let's trade places. I'll let you teach. Don't pick up a haughty spirit and say, well, I've heard that before. There's always something we can glean and learn. If you are an effective intercessor and your prayers are availing much, then you are entering in and you are learning some things. But if you still have some desires concerning prayer, you better keep your Bible open and pay attention. No matter who's teaching or wherever, there's just some, the enemy has brought sort of a lethargy spirit and a lackadaisical oh-hum attitude sometimes, you know, when we really need to be attentive to what God is saying to us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. One of the greatest battle areas in my life as a pastor is that thing of prayer. We as believers, and even myself and those who are in ministry, must learn to discern between that which is needful and that which is urgent. And someone may call and say, this is urgent, I need to talk to the pastor. But it may be more needful for us to be in prayer. Because the enemy and people are vying for our time all the time. And Paul says in Ephesians 6, 18, praying always. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Saints, I believe that we really don't know what would be happening in America or around the world in this hour, even this morning, if it had not been for the intercessors that God has raised up thus far. Because we know that much of the evil and debauchery and much of the enemy's plan has been foiled and stopped because of the intercession of God's people. But what I want to bring you to this morning is to a little greater understanding, maybe, of what intercessory prayer is. Dependence upon God will make you an intercessor. Did you hear that? Dependence upon God will make you an intercessor. Because we are totally dependent upon God. We can do absolutely nothing on our own. That attitude must be totally destroyed. The attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ must be picked up in our own selves. And there are five Greek words that directly relate to intercession. And by taking those five Greek words and combining them as far as meaning, by taking each one and looking at what each one means, we can define intercession in this way. Intercession is seeking the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others. Very seldom is intercession on behalf of yourself. Very, very seldom. It means to meditate. It means to go between parties to reconcile. It means to bring accord out of dispute. It means to arbitrate. It means to cause a settlement of differences between two or more parties. Those are just takeoffs of meanings of the word and of the subject of intercessory prayer. An intercessor is very much an advocate, such as the Holy Spirit is the advocate, the one who goes between us and Jesus as we pray. He's the paraclete, the one who stands between. That is, in essence, the ministry of an intercessor, one who pleads the cause of others. He's an arbiter, a person with power to decide a dispute. In spiritual warfare, are you aware that much and many disputes are decided by those who are in intercession concerning that situation? In Isaiah 59:16, the word says that God saw that there was no intercessor. Let's look at it. Isaiah 59:16. Isaiah 59:16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. God saw that there was no intercessor. As a result, God sent Jesus to represent himself, God, on the earth. Ezekiel says something very similar in the 22nd chapter. Ezekiel 22:30. This is an interesting context. Very, very interesting. Beginning to read in verse 23 of Ezekiel 22. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the days of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls and have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. For princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Sound familiar? And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression or deceit, and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And with all of this going on, which we see, we could break that down and see that that very thing is going on in America today and around the world. Just exactly what Ezekiel described. But God's response was this. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What is God going to find in this hour? I mean, we can see what's happening. Are we not? Are you not concerned about the neighbor down the street? You see, we can't get so involved in all the things that are going on and all the things of the end time and everything that's happening, and we fail to realize that we are still the ambassadors for Christ that we ought to be. Jesus' commission is still, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We can't have a selfish attitude and a prideful attitude about what we know. I've read all these books and I've studied all this, and this is what I know. And your neighbor's going to hell. You can know all these things and read all the books, but you're still responsible to be a witness, to share the simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. But sometimes we think we get beyond that. There's no such thing as getting beyond that. The world is still dying. And it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:5 declares that there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews 9:24 declares that Jesus now appears in the presence of God for us as an intercessor, as an advocate. Romans 8:34 declares that Christ also maketh intercession. Hebrews 7:25 declares that he, it says he, which means Jesus Christ, ever liveth to make intercession for them. And 1 John 2:1 declares that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Think of it. Jesus spent 3.5 years teaching and preaching on the earth. Since his ascension, he has been interceding for 2,000 years for the people of earth before the Father. Jesus is an intercessor. He's an advocate, one who stands in the gap through his blood, through his cross. And he sent another. He said, I'll send another. And that was the Holy Spirit, to be an advocate and an intercessor. How do we intercede? How do we intercede? We know, we've heard the terminology intercession, intercessory prayer. How is it that we intercede? Primarily, intercession involves praying in the Spirit. On the other hand, you can pray in the Spirit and not be interceding. You know, you can just be praying in the Spirit and not really be interceding for a need or for a situation. Jude 20 says, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's a good definition. Praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:2 declares that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. And 14:15 there, 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. Romans 8:26, let's look at that verse. Romans 8:26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been there? That you didn't know how to pray for that situation. But the Spirit, and Paul's already talked about the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He's already talked about many of these things in Romans 8. But the Spirit itself, or the Spirit himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What he's saying is that there are the groanings which cannot be spoken forth in articulate speech. That you just cannot, you come to the point that you just cannot articulate in English what needs to be said in prayer concerning that situation. How many of you have experienced literally groaning in the Spirit? I mean, where literally there was times that you couldn't do anything but groan. That there was that's a spirit of travail. It's the same thing that comes on a woman as she's bringing forth a child. The travail of the pressure of the situation that is upon her. So intercession is anointed, inspired prayer for others. And it consists of three forms, as far as I can see in the Word of God. It's prayer in the Spirit, which is praying in tongues. It's prayer with your understanding in English, because you may be praying along and the Lord will say, bind that situation, or speak to that situation, or command that body to line up or something. You may be praying along in the Spirit and the Lord will cause you to go off into English and just do something very specific for that situation. And then you go back again into praying in the Spirit. And then it's praying in the Spirit in tongues. It's praying with your understanding, because you may have some understanding about the situation and the Lord may quicken to you to pray something. And then it's groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. We need to understand that praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is the gateway to the supernatural. While we were driving up here, my jaws became sore. I said, hon, why are my jaws so sore? She said, have you been praying in the Spirit a lot driving? I said, yes. And I'd prayed in the Spirit so much that my jaws were sore. But you see, driving down the road, even without uttering it out into the open, you can pray in the Spirit. Don't waste your time. That's something we can't reclaim. Once the time is gone, we can't reclaim that time. And so we can pray in the Spirit. There have been times I've had one experience, and I don't know if my wife has had any. I'm sure that she has had some experiences, possibly more than I, because she has more. She's more into the closet type intercession than I am. But I had one experience where I went to bed praying in the Spirit, And I woke up praying in the Spirit, and I just knew within myself that I had prayed in the Spirit all night long, even as I slept. I've only had one experience like that, where, you know, I was conscious of the fact that when I went to sleep, I was praying in tongues, and when I woke up, I was praying in tongues. And I just knew that that had gone on all night. In my spirit, it had gone on all night long. Some of you, I sense, have experienced that. Who do we intercede for? Well, intercession is primarily for people. Because even if there are situations, there are people involved in those situations. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. Then he begins to break it down. For kings and for all that are in authority. You know, I found that I cannot intercede for someone and be critical of them at the same time. How can you just give railing accusation against the President of the United States and everything that's going on and give him the blame for all that and then go into your closet and say, "Oh, Father, I intercede for the President of the United States." You hypocrite. Come on. God will do something in you as you begin to intercede for a situation. You know, if there's a problem in your neighborhood and you were involved in it, or a problem in your home or wherever, and you've been hurt, as you begin to intercede, the first thing God's going to do is speak to you to get you all cleaned out about that situation. And some of you have experienced that too. You went to the Father and said, "Father, I'm just going to bombard this situation." The first thing he did was gut you and deal with your attitude. For all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due times. God is looking for those in this hour that will give themselves in intercession. Not just ladies, but men also, who will give themselves as Jesus gave himself. Verse 8, Paul says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." So we pray for all men. We pray for authorities. We pray for those who are unsaved. In Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Do you pray for one another? Intercede. We are to intercede not only for the world and for all men and for those who are in authority, but for one another who know the Lord. For all saints. All saints. All those who have named the name of Jesus and come to him through his blood. Saints, I believe one of the things God wants to do in this hour is to turn the tide not only of sin, but of theology. Of what they believe. And so as we intercede, we can begin to intercede that God is going to do just that. It is our responsibility. You see, once we have the knowledge of intercession, and once we have the revelation of intercession, just like anything else, we become responsible to do it. "And supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Paul was in fivefold ministry. We're to pray for those in fivefold ministry for this very reason. "That utterance may be given unto them, that they may open their mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." You know, the Word of God declares that in this end time, the mysteries are not going to be mysteries anymore. We're going to know the mysteries, and the mysteries of the kingdom are going to be revealed and set forth as an array of food on a table, that we can visibly see those things that have been held as mysteries for centuries. So we're to intercede for all men, for the unsaved, for the saved, for the fivefold ministry, for nations, cities, churches, groups, families, individuals. And then within the framework of this is what we talked about yesterday. In intercession concerning nations and situations and churches and groups and families and individuals, in intercession is the privilege of binding the strong men. in Matthew 12:29 and Mark 4:27 and Luke 11:21. We can bind and loose. And there's an interesting verse in Matthew 18, verse 19. Let's look at that in just a moment. Making this application toward intercessory prayer. After the verse on binding and loosing, verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If any two of you shall agree. And actually, that's another definition of prayer and intercession, is coming into agreement with God. Coming into agreement with God. He has sent His Spirit, who is on the earth. Even if you're by yourself, the Spirit of God abides within you. There's two of you. Amen. We've always thought, well, I've got to find somebody else. You may be in a situation where there isn't somebody else. The Spirit of God's within you. You come into agreement with the Spirit of God, and the two of you can agree, and God will move. I believe we'll begin to see much more in the realm of God moving in the United States and around the earth as we begin to intercede in a biblical way on behalf of what is going on. Now, much has been done through intercessory prayer. But that's only been through a few intercessors. When God is calling His entire church to intercession, He's calling the entire church to groan for the creation. And really, that's the only thing that's going to birth the sons of God, is that groaning and travailing. Look at Genesis chapter 18. One of the greatest examples of intercession in all of the Bible is here in Genesis 18. I was amazed when I saw what took place here. Genesis chapter 18, beginning to read in verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from me to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare it all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. That's intercession. We take unto ourselves to speak unto God. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous, will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And God said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure said, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Abraham knew the awesomeness of the responsibility of speaking unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20 sake. And he said, oh, not let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10 sake. And Abraham said, I'm satisfied. What was happening here? Abraham was interceding for that situation, and he was moving the heart of God. Not by manipulation. He was moving the heart of God. And to me, that's that intercession. He was saying, oh God, would you destroy it if there's 50? Oh God, would you destroy it if there's 45? He became more and more specific right now. Because Abraham knew how many kin he had in his family. And he became an intercessor, and he stood. He said, oh God, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to pray some more. And God's heart was moved by Abraham's intercession. for that city. And that was just one man interceding for probably the most wicked twin cities in all of the world at that time. One man stayed the hand of God, had there been the ten. Can you imagine? Just one intercessor. And Moses has done the same thing for the Israelites in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, verses 31 and 32. Moses had established an intimate relationship with God. God loved Moses, and Moses loved God. In verse 31 of Exodus 32, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Are you willing to put your own self on the line in intercession? Moses put himself right on the line. He said, God, if you don't spare them, take me too. That's the heart of an intercessor. That's that heart of entering into, not partaking of another person's situation, but with the attitude of intercession, entering into that need. And Moses was identifying himself with those people. You see, because we've been out there, because we've been in a lot of the problems and situations that people are facing, you can identify, not enter into, but you can identify with their hurts and their where they're at, can't you? Well, you can do that as you come before the Father in intercession. Beautiful exhortation of Jesus in the 17th chapter of John, where Jesus tells his disciples that he had prayed and interceded for them before the throne of the Father. Praise God. Look at Galatians 4:19. There's much more we could look at along this line, but I just wanted to stir your heart concerning intercession, intercessory prayer. Galatians 4:19. Paul is writing to that church in Galatia. And he says, My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. The word travail in the Greek there is labor involving effort. It's labor involving effort. We have desired God to do things. We have desired the blessings of God. We have desired God to move, but we didn't want to do anything to get it. Paul said he travailed in birth that Christ may be formed in them. He labored in intercession. He labored in prayer, in intercessory prayer, that Christ might be formed in that church, Galatia. Then that verse that we mentioned last night in Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. What is the keynote? The travail. The travail. Travail is another good definition of intercession. Travailing before God. We have not cried enough tears in intercession for the needs of humanity, that Christ be formed in us, that Christ be formed in His church. But I believe God is restoring in our day this thing of intercession. Intercession, remember, is that seeking the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others. It's reaching the throne of God on behalf of someone else. And we've been given that privilege to come boldly to the throne of grace. Just a few short exhortations to intercessors. Don't do much mental praying. In other words, trying to tell God how to do the situation or what to, you know, with your mind, well, God, I think this is what needs to be done. Don't do much mental praying. Intercede in the Spirit. And remember that intercession involves travail and groaning perseverance, diligence, and steadfastness. All of those things are involved. Travail, groanings, perseverance, diligence, steadfastness. And as an intercessor, make sure your heart is clean. Psalm 66:18 says, If I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And realize that intercession is prayer that is energized and directed by the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you in your intercession, be aggressive. Be aggressive against the enemy. Come against him in the Spirit. Come against him with the Word. Come against him with the name of Jesus. And when you're interceding, I've always encouraged people when they're interceding, when they're there in their closet, or when you're around, you know, your home, or in church even, if there's that are called to intercession, keep your Bible with you. Keep your Bible open and handy. Because God will speak through His Word. He may speak to you. He may speak something that will encourage you through the Word as you're interceding. He has done that to me a number of times. He's spoken through His Word as I've been in intercession. So keep your Bible there, because that's another lifeline that you have with the Father. He'll speak to you right back through His Word as you're interceding. And above all things, 1 Corinthians 1:9, the verse that I've probably stood upon more in the last 2 or 3 years than any other single verse in all the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. God is faithful. Say it with me. God is faithful. Amen. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That encourages my heart that as I intercede, as I do what I know God has spoken to me to do, I know that God is faithful. If you're here today and you say, well, I've received a lot of deliverance this week, but I still feel I have problems and there's things I know. God is faithful. Well, I came with infirmities and they still have some symptoms and things in my body. And God is faithful. My husband's off and he's wayward and all this. God is faithful. My children are all messed up and in all this. God is faithful. Amen. Praise God. But you give God something to work with. Give Him something to work with. Put some intercession in your gun and shoot it to the Father. Give Him something to work with. That's been our problem. We haven't given God anything to work with. And He's a faithful God. He'll honor His Word. He'll honor the prayers of His people if they'll pray. If they'll enter that throne room of intercession. I'll tell you what intercession has done, I think, more for our fellowship than for... We have called intercessory prayer twice a week. Friday morning at 6 o'clock. Tuesday evening, we have intercessory prayer. But then I know that there are ladies interceding all, you know, just interspersed through the week. But God is doing something. We've seen miracles. We've seen God move in situations and circumstances because we intercede. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Father, we just thank You that You're doing a new thing in the earth, that You're doing a new work in each one of our lives. Father, just give us the spirit of intercession. Cause us to, Lord, be concerned and compassionate about others. Lord, even when we hear a siren blare, may we go into intercession for that situation. Father, when we see people hurting and wounded and dying, Father, may we have Your heart of compassion to them. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that You will, out of this group this day, that You will birth intercessors to intercede for all men, to intercede for kings and all those who are in authority, to intercede for the saints, to intercede for the fivefold ministry in the earth, to intercede for the manifestation of the sons of God on the earth. Oh, Father, we just thank You for what You're doing. Just stir this within our hearts, Father. May we not be able to escape the fact that we individually need to pray and intercede for everything that Your Word has declared that we should. Praise Your name, Father. Praise Your name, Father. Father, I just pray for all those intercessors that You have around the world right now. I encourage them, Father, in the name of Jesus. I speak an encouraging word to them in Jesus' name. Father, cause them to know that their words are not just falling on deaf ears, but God is faithful. And as we send His word back to Him, He performs it in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabahasa. Oh, Rabahasa. Oh, Rabahasa. Oh, Randala Rabahasa. Oh, Rabahasa. We just thank You for what You are revealing to us throughout this week, those things that are the revelation knowledge of Your Word that will cause us to be established, strengthened, set upon those high places of the earth, that we might be an established people founded upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, going forth and entering into spiritual warfare and battle in the spirit world as we intercede for the needs of mankind. And Father, we just know that above all things, that as we set ourselves to seek Your face, as we set ourselves to seek Your face, Father, that You are a faithful God. And we thank You for that, Father. And Lord Jesus, I just speak a blessing upon Your people as they've heard the word today, as they've responded and made a decision within themselves that they know that they need to make concerning prayer, concerning intercession, concerning intercessory prayer, Father, on behalf of others. And Lord, we'll remember that the captivity of Job was turned when he prayed for someone else. Father, we know that Your word says, give and it shall be given unto you. So we're going to give ourselves in intercession. And You'll give unto us the answer, even to our own heart's cry. Lord, we know that You said if we would sow, we would reap. Lord, we want to sow prayers into Your throne that we might reap answered prayers in our own lives and in the lives of others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I just wanted to stir your heart to become an intercessor in the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, we praise Your name, Father. Hallelujah. We praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just encourage you to be in tune with the Lord in that at any time when He, no matter what you're doing, He can just bring that. I know this happens to my wife just very frequently, that the Lord would just bring that burden of intercession, that spirit of intercession will come on her, and she just has to lock herself away, and we just leave her alone. You know, the other members of the family, we just leave her alone because we know that the Lord has laid weight. You know, you may not ever know what you're praying for. You may be praying for somebody halfway across the world. You don't know. You just don't know. But respond and be sensitive. That's one of the things God is really quickening to me, is to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in this hour. That when He speaks, we'll respond. God looks for an intercessor, Isaiah said. Ezekiel said, He looked for a man to stand in the gap. I believe we're going to be willing to stand in the gap. Amen. Praise God. Praise Your name, Jesus. We exalt Your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Your name, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Sure.
My daughter was being born. I labored 3 days with joy,
And this scripture that this brother brought out in the Galatians 4:19, God has definitely spoken to me now. Now, Joy is wondering. She's not living close to God, and it's really something. But God now has spoken to me. I need to get into that same travail for Joy.
Amen.
Until Christ has formed in her.
That's right.
And this is a responsibility. I feel God really talked to me this morning.
Praise God.
And you women that have travail for your children in birth, and now they're wondering, you're going to have to get back into that spirit of travail until Christ is born.
Until the spiritual birth comes forth. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Yes. Sure.
I feel it's for all of us.
Amen.
Well, now, I was praying for my son, and I was praying in the spirit because I didn't know how to pray. And as I prayed, my prayer language changed. It became sharp and precious.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I saw a spade come down. And it was bright and shiny, and it struck this pastor that had never been killed. I said, Lord, that pastor has never been broken up. That's... And then the spade went down into the ground and turned over one shovel full of dirt. Just one. And as I prayed, I was looking, and that dirt was matted with roots. It was hard, and you couldn't have planted anything in it because it was bound by the roots of the grass. And I said, Lord, that's foul ground. As I continued to pray, and I kept on praying, as my prayer language was sharp and precious, I noticed the sound of it. Even though I wasn't praying out loud, the sound was sharp and precious. And this flat land began to sink away underneath. That red, the soil fell away, and it came to, and I saw
the moon.
Places that were dipping, and the words, a sharp, crushing instrument, just flooded my mind. And I believe that's what intercessors are. By our, like he said, not in the with our knowing mind, but in the spirit, we break up fallow ground, and it falls away. And we are sharp, crushing instruments.
Amen. Amen.
We are just balanced.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And it says it seems to be just like in intercession being a part of that overall realm of spiritual warfare, sometimes you don't see much happening all at once. But that doesn't make any difference, because that intercession, just like when you bind something, you may not see it bound immediately, yet the word works, and our intercession, our prayer, as we obey the Father, it begins to work, and the tentacles, like you say, the tentacles of the roots begin to loosen and dry up, and all of a sudden the ground becomes just exactly what it needs to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm encouraged that God is calling His people to prayer.
Right. Amen.
Amen. That's the only thing, saints, that's going to stay the hand of the enemy, is our intercession before the Father. Let's break the hindrances to our prayer life. I mean, boy, I'll tell you what, that's one of the things I continually battle, is time to pray. You know, just so many things, so many other things that really aren't important. They just vie on your time. Father, in Jesus' name, we just lift up every one of our lives and our time, Father. Lord, we just break the hindrances of our prayer time in the name of Jesus, Lord. That You would, Lord, cause us to know that that's one of the most important things we do every day. Daily is spend that time in prayer before You, Father. Oh, Lord, just quicken it to us and cause us to be disciplined people. Lord, and we break the hindrances that would hinder us from praying the way we need to pray. From interceding the way we need to intercede. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Hassan Dalalamakushon Dalalamakasan. Praise be unto Your name. Praise be unto Your name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Jesus. Praise Your name. Praise Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Here's the camp. Here at the campground, we have prayer meeting through the week every morning at 8 o'clock. Sometimes it's over in 25, 30 minutes, generally, and sometimes it has lasted to 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon here at prayer meeting. But to me, it's very important for us to pray here of a morning. It changes some of the situations and problems and things, and It started in a strange way, but I wouldn't stop it now for anything. But At home, in places. Find a time when somewhere through the day to spend with the Lord.
Amen.
It's hard after you get started to work and everything, you know, to break apart again and then take a time of prayer. But so to hear, I want to ask everybody who can to come and gather with us here, those who live here and who don't work, you know, just have their own thing to do and all of that here on the campground. I appreciate them coming and whenever they can and flowing together with us here of a morning to pray together and to bring in remembrance our president and those in authority over us, and then the labors of the day in the camp. And most of the time, there's generally somebody, a request for to pray for somebody also, and as well as our prayer time at Thursday, on Thursday. But find a time to pray before the Lord every day and make it a habit. Make it a part of your life so that your life doesn't seem right without it. That's the way it should be, so that it doesn't seem like something's missing if you missed it. And that's what I hope that the Lord makes you feel. Amen. Well, we'll gather back for 2:30 for next service will be at 2:30. There will be no other prayer meetings of any kind in between this afternoon. And they're winning lunch for us. And help us to learn to make ourselves intercessors.
Amen.
You have to make yourself be. Otherwise, Satan will keep you forever from it. You have to make yourself be. It's not something that's just going to happen to you. You have to say, Lord, here I am. Make me to be. Father, we thank you for the word we've heard. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our hearts and our lives for your glory, that we can be that which you can make us to be, Lord, as we yield ourselves to thee. And Father, this nation needs intercessors. Your ministries need intercession. We need it here, Lord, for the ministry here. And we bless those who bless us with their prayers, Lord. And I appreciate them, and I bless them, Lord. Father, bless the food to our bodies. Make it health and strength to us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless those, Lord, who have prepared it. And I bless them. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.